Good afternoon, members. Welcome to the Choice and Innovation Subcommittee. Today is Thursday, November 16th, and we will now call roll. Andrea, please call the roll.
Chair Rizzo?
Here.
Vice Chair Michael?
Present.
Representative Altman?
Here.
Representative, Ranking Member Valdez?
Present.
Representative Amnesty is excused. Representative Baker?
Here.
Representative Bankson?
Here.
Representative Basabi?
Here.
Representative Chambliss?
Here.
Representative Dunkley?
Here.
Representative Garcia?
Present.
Representative McLean?
Here.
Representative Nixon is excused. Representative Persons Malika?
Here.
Representative Porras?
Here.
Representative Roach? Representative Stark?
Here.
Representative Waldron is excused.
Thank you, members, and by your presence, we have a quorum. Just a few housekeeping. Members, please remember to silence all your electronic devices, and that includes anyone in the audience, please. Also, please be recognized by the chair before addressing the committee or the presenters, and make sure your microphones are turned on after you've been recognized. Members, this afternoon, this subcommittee will have a series of presentations on secondary career and technical education, otherwise known as CTE. Over 15 years, the legislature passed the Career and Professional Education, or CAPE, Act, C-A-P-E, which, among other purposes, sought to provide rigorous and relevant career-themed courses that articulate to post-secondary level coursework and lead to industry certification. Since then, the legislature has continued its focus on expanding high-quality CTE opportunities for students through the 2021 REACH Act and, most recently, SB 240, which passed during the 2023 legislative session. Today's meeting will provide members with an overview of the current secondary CTE landscape in Florida. In addition, I've invited representatives from three school districts to join us in a panel discussion on the secondary CTE opportunities in their districts. Members, we've done a lot of work with this, and we had asked that Chair Mello please attend and ask away any questions that she wanted, but she is busy and she could not. She did a lot of work when it came to CTE over the last three sessions. So, the first presentation, number one, is Florida College Access Network. Presenting today from the Florida College Access Network is Mr. Dave Sobush, Director of Research and Policy, and Ms. Deborah Martin, Policy Analyst. Mr. Sobush, thank you for being here today. You're recognized to present.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon to you and all the members of the Choice and Innovation Subcommittee. We're delighted to be part of and kick off this important discussion around education beyond high school and specifically career and technical education. We're delighted because that's FCAN's focus. Regardless of the path chosen, education beyond the high school diploma is necessary for Florida residents to ensure economic mobility and personal prosperity. It's why FCAN was highlighted in House Bill 7071 in the 2019 session. It's why FCAN is identified by name as a partner to the State Board of Education and Board of Governors in statute. The landmark Bill 7071, passed unanimously and signed into law by Governor DeSantis, was designed to propel Florida's workforce into the top spot in the nation and included the Sail to 60 goal, 60% college degree or high-quality credential attainment among working-age Floridians by the year 2030. As many of you know, the Florida 2030 Blueprint, shepherded by the Florida Chamber, includes this metric as one of the key goals that need to be reached in order to grow Florida's economy to the 10th largest in the world by 2030. So, much more than just a benefit to the individual, education beyond high school is critically important to this state's economy and future. So that's what we do, and how we do it is through six key work programs. We're sharing some research today around career and technical education, but I want to highlight one of our statewide College Ready Florida initiatives, and that is the FAFSA Completion Challenge. Last year, Florida students left an estimated $300 million in Pell Grants on the table simply by not completing a free application for federal student aid. The U.S. Department of Education announced just yesterday that the new FAFSA will launch on December 31st, making this year's completion challenge more of a sprint as opposed to a marathon. We don't do any of this work alone, but through collaboration with local college access networks. There are 18 LCANs that serve roughly 83% of the state's population, and their on-the-ground work is tailored to challenges in their communities. For example, in South Florida, Graduate Miami-Dade is part of the team working to upskill and transition workers into higher-paying, higher-ceiling jobs. EarnUp in the First Coast region works to help veterans transition back to civilian life and find their next career. And in Southwest Florida, the Future Makers Coalition received a $22.9 million award from the USEDA Good Jobs Challenge to partner with Florida Gulf Coast University for a multi-year investment in workforce development for the region with a specific focus on Southwest Florida's inland communities. I mentioned it takes a team to do this work, so with that, I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Deborah Martin, policy analyst with FCAN, to walk you through some of our recent research. Deborah?
Thank you. Ms. Deborah Martin, policy analyst for FCAN, you are recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and the rest of the committee for having us here today. So I'll be kind of walking us through a little bit more on today's topic around secondary career and technical education. So before some of the meat of our presentation, I wanted to take this second to kind of highlight this definition that we think here at FCAN best encapsulates what career and technical education is. There are various definitions out there, but we feel that this represents the term the best. It captures the broad nature of this educational pathway. It mentions the combination of both academic and technical skills, and of course emphasizes the connection on the credential earned to then a career in the workforce. And so in understanding that the state of course has done a lot around secondary CTE, CTE in general over the past couple of years, as the chair mentioned, we've recognized that in our network, there was still some confusion and kind of misunderstanding around exactly what these programs were, how they could help students both in high school and out and post-high school. And so we created this brief, Understanding Career and Technical Education, just a few months ago and released it to our network to show the complex nature around CTE and provided a list of the items that you see on the screen. So we have a list of common CTE terms and definitions. We kind of provide some clarity around what secondary versus post-secondary CTE is, provide information around the most recent enrollment rates. We provide examples of these programs and initiatives that you all have passed and voted on. And then, of course, also highlight recommendations that we believe at FCAN can further strengthen our already robust CTE system. And so these are a few pages out of the brief that we wanted to highlight. The first is an example of CTE programs that provide college credit, and shown are certificates and certifications that can then articulate and stack to a degree. We have also, again, as mentioned, research recommendations that we believe can further strengthen our CTE system. As, of course, we're all aware, Florida offers many options that will allow students to receive college credit for CTE courses that have been taken. However, students are not always aware of what is available, and so sometimes can miss out on college credit for their CTE work. And so targeted partnerships, like the Tech Express program out of Central Florida, we believe can help increase transfer options and help advise students of opportunities that can help them continue their education after completing their CTE program. And then lastly, you see a list of common CTE terms and definitions that are highlighted and defined for all audiences, things like career certificate, CTE concentrator, registered apprenticeship, and career pathway. And so this brief is just one of the many examples of the way that we work to connect our network to make sure that they remain informed of the best practices happening throughout the state. We've worked with partners such as Florida After School, Florida Consortium of Education Foundations, and Take Stock in Children to make sure that they're able to provide this information to the populations and the communities that they serve so that these wonderful programs that have been passed can actually help those students that these are intended for. And so for today's topic around secondary CTE, first wanted to mention that, of course, this is no longer the vocational education of before, right? We actually have been using the term career and technical education since 2006. And so this really shows where this education has been going over the past couple years. It's better reflecting the blending of higher academic learning with technical and hands-on learning. And so here in Florida, as you all are well aware, we have very robust secondary and post-secondary CTE programs. Secondary CTE students have the chance to explore a career while also learning technical and employability skills that will then integrate or complement their further academic studies. Some programs will prepare students for the workforce, others will prepare students for further education, and some will do both. Secondary students can take CTE courses in Florida's 17 career clusters, such as architecture and construction, energy, health sciences, and information technology. These courses also include career dual enrollment courses that connect students' learning and then lead to post-high school programs. We also have a CTE option for graduating high school. This was first made available in the 2019-2020 academic year. And for this option, a student must complete all 18 credits, 4 in English, 4 in math, 3 in science, and 3 in social studies, have a minimum of a 2.0 GPA, and have completed 2 credits in CTE courses that will then result in program completion and an industry certification. And so in this case, we can see certain instances where students will actually be able to graduate high school both with a high school diploma and an industry certification. And I'll just mention, the DOE has a great website that will show, a great list of programs and associated CTE courses that will allow students to fulfill these requirements for this specific high school diploma. And then, And then amongst dual enrollment course offerings specifically, Florida offers career dual enrollment courses as part of secondary CTE for high school students. High school students taking these courses can work towards an industry certification and receive high school credit by taking these courses at their district technical center or their local state college. Some of these certifications can apply towards college credit and degrees at no cost to the student. Additionally, based on the program that the student is taking the courses in, there's potential, again, for students to graduate with both a high school diploma and an industry certification. And then most recent, we have Senate Bill 240. Again, as the chair mentioned, that was just recently passed earlier this year in the 2023 legislative session. It was very monumental in broadening CTE opportunities for students, and listed are some of the major changes in this bill. All high school students will have access to work-based learning opportunities, and these are things such as apprenticeships or internships. All high school students will have access to, juniors and seniors to career fairs to make sure that they have the opportunity to meet with and interview with prospective employers. Now all middle school students will be responsible for creating a career plan that they must then update annually in high school. Students now can also opt to take a CTE course in place of the fine or performing arts credit that they need for a high school diploma. And the State Board of Education must also establish a rule that would allow students to receive work-based learning credit for their participation in CTE student organizations. And lastly, the Department of Education must convene a work group to enhance middle school to high school CTE pathways. And they must also create 3 separate math pathways in K-12 that will then align with post-secondary and career outcomes. And that's our presentation for today.
Thank you very much. Members, are there any questions? Representative Garcia, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there a website where parents can go to find all of this information? And how do you make it available to the schools?
You're recognized.
Thank you. That's a great question. So I would say some of the ways that we work to make sure that this information is getting out to parents and students is through the work of our local college access networks. So they kind of more so work with the school districts, They have partnerships with certain schools. We have some, for example, that have college and career coaches on the campus. So we rely on them. And then us separately, we do have all of these resources and information available on our website as well.
Thank you for that. Any follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What is the website address?
You're recognized.
So our website is floridacollegeaccess.org.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Vice Chair Michael, you are recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I just have a question with the LCANs when that was mentioned. Was it the EARN-UP that was referenced when it came to offering this to military families? And would that include military spouses?
You're recognized.
Thank you. So EARN-UP is a great example of an LCAN that, recognizing the veteran population that they have in their footprint, they do specifically target those individuals. I'm unsure if they work with military spouses, but I do know that their focus is making sure that once they return, right, and they're kind of transitioning back into civilian life, that they have the opportunities to be able to either further their education if they'd like to do so, or finding ways that they can get back into the workforce.
Thank you. Any follow-up?
I'll get with you afterwards. I just want to get your information so we can find out or get an answer on the military spouses. Thank you. I have a naval base. I'm out of Northeast Florida. I represent Northeast Florida, and I have a naval base that I represent. And so this is dear to me, and it's something I want to present them with and offer them to and let them know about. So thank you for the presentation.
All right, thank you. I happen to have a question if there are no other questions. Ms. Martin, following up a little bit on Vice Chair's Michael's question, the LCANs. I notice on the map page, and I don't know what page it is, but it highlighted, there you go, thank you. 83% of Florida's population has access to one of the LCANs. What can we do to kind of ameliorate where those LCAN deserts are, for lack of a better term? And also, are there any challenges? What are the challenges that you've seen with having each one of the 67 districts in Florida recognized?
That's a great question. I wish our network consultant was here. She could better give you an example. But I would say some of the challenges you could clearly notice that, you know, the lack of representation isn't more in our rural communities. So I think, you know, a lot of this is bandwidth. Many of the individuals that kind of make up our LCANs are, it's an additional job, right? So these are individuals that work at education foundations, in the K-12 public school system. And so whatever job that they currently have, they're adding this to their workload. So I think that's one. I know part of it too is making sure that there's the right ecosystem, right? Maybe there is interest in forming an LCAN, but maybe the financial structure is not there, the manpower is not there. But that's something that we are constantly working on as well, is trying to see where there is interest, so we can kind of increase that representation. And I'll mention Spark, Pasco Hernando, that's our most recent one, where we kind of have LEAP, who represents Hillsborough and Pinellas counties, that have kind of taken the Pasco Hernando LCAN like under their wing, so to say, to help them actually be able to finally start up that LCAN in their community.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other questions, members? Okay, and with that, thank you very much for the presentation. Had a lot of information there, and I'm sure, like you see, some members have some follow-up. So if you can get back with our staffs, we would really appreciate that. Thank you very much. Members, we will now move on to a presentation from the Department of Education. Presenting today for the department is Dr. Kevin O'Farrell, Chancellor of the Division of Career and Adult Education. Dr. O'Farrell, thank you very much for being here. And you're recognized whenever you're recognized and ready. You can begin whenever you wish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. Let me just get this PowerPoint up here.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. And good morning, committee. Thank you so much for letting us have the opportunity to come before you today to share with you some really exciting advances that we have seen in the CTE space, and specifically when we think about even what's happened since Senate Bill 240 and the advances that have taken place since there. So I'm going to give you kind of a little bit of a little bit of overview of where we're at with CTE, and then we're going to take a look at some of those particular policy items that were in Senate Bill 240. I want to touch a little bit on work-based learning, our Zello implementation that's taking place, and then finally end with some funding opportunities that have created some new incentives for us as well in the CTE space. So before you is a nice chart that shows Florida's 17 career and technical education pathways. And so all of our programs here in the state of Florida in CTE are aligned with one of these particular career clusters. And what we do with our programs is we make sure that they are aligned with partners in not only education, but business and industry. And this collaboration allows us to ensure that all of our curriculum frameworks and all of our secondary and our post-secondary programs are both academically rigorous and responsive to business and industry needs. As you can see, we have got a cluster for every particular occupation that you can think of, from architecture and construction to agriculture to marketing and communications, education. We have the full gamut here. Now, the chart that you see before you shows the enrollment trend on secondary career and technical education since 2017. We are very close to having the new state totals for CTE in the secondary space. I was hoping we'd have that in time for this presentation, but that data window just closed at the end of October, and so we're gathering all those, and so we'll hope to give you an update on that. But we have up to 21-22, and what you can see before you is a 9.5% increase since 2017, and this has been phenomenal. So nearly 800,000 students are involved in some form of a CTE coursework within their district or their school. Now with this, let me tell you a little bit about what these numbers represent, because this is both middle school students and high school students. So we really have kind of a few buckets here of programs and courses that are represented in that 800,000 number. The first is career exploratory. Career exploratory are the courses that students take in middle school, right? They're taking an introduction to a career cluster, and that represents about 31% of that 800,000 that you see. And then we also have a couple of buckets known as career preparatory, which is coursework that specifically is training a student for a particular occupation. That takes place in grades 9 through 12. And then there's what we call technology education, which takes place from 6 to 12, which gives a student an idea of the fundamental skills that are necessary for continued matriculation within that program of study. Those two buckets, the career preparatory and the technology education, account for about 60% of that total. And then the balance of what we have here in this number are what we have some of our work-based learning opportunities and some of our kind of legacy CTE courses. So you might think of life management skills or parenting skills, those kinds of courses that are included there as well. But again, incredible trajectory. This is a great testament to you all in the legislature and to the governor that's really put a focus on CTE, because we know that when we reach students early and we reach them in the secondary space, that helps propel them in that post-secondary experience as well, and then into the workplace. So I mentioned specifically career preparatory, and I wanted to kind of pull that out so you kind of have an idea in the 9th through 12th space, what are students really kind of enrolling in? What are they participating in? Now, this particular number is a duplicative number, which means you can have students that are involved in various programs, so they're counted multiple times. But as you can see from this chart, this is the 17 career clusters as a pie chart showing the enrollments of those students in the 21-22 school year. Now, our top career cluster for this is our AV, our Arts, AV, Technology, and Communication, about 150,000 students, and then Information Technology with about 85,000 students, and then about 73,000 students in Hospitality and Tourism. Now, we've mentioned this earlier when we talk about CAPE, and we also have a couple of things here in Florida that I want to highlight for you. The first is our Career Professional Academies. Now, our CAPE Professional Academies are ones that are research-based programs that integrate rigorous academic curriculum and industry-specific curriculum that is aligned directly to priority workforce needs established by a local workforce development board or the Department of Commerce. And so what our academies do is they form partnerships, at least one, and many times it's multiple partnerships, with different post-secondary institutions, their tech colleges or their Florida College System institution, businesses and industry leaders, to ensure that that curriculum is meeting the industry needs, but also maintains the academic rigor. And so for this last year, for 23-24, we currently have 2,176 academies registered across 44 districts here in the state of Florida. And the top career clusters for academies that are represented across the state are information technology, arts, AV, technology, and communication, again, hospitality and tourism. If you remember back to that pie chart, right, we see those are the largest enrollments we have in that 9 through 12 space, business, management, administration, and health science as well. Now, related with CAPE academies, our CAPE career professional academies, are our CAPE career-themed courses. Now, these are courses or series of courses that students can participate in that align with them to have the opportunity to earn a CAPE industry certification. And that certification is important because it allows them to demonstrate proficiency in a particular industry with a specific skill set that can really advance their employment in the workplace. And so these career-themed courses, each of the districts will register those with us, and they do that so that they can receive funding through the FEFP calculation each year. And this is an opportunity for them to submit linkages between particular courses and industry certifications. Currently, all 67 of our school districts, Florida Virtual School, the FSU Lab School, FAMU Lab School, the UF Lab School, have registered career-themed courses for the 22-23 academic year. Of our 67 school districts that we have 28 districts that have 100 or more unique courses that are registered with us, and all districts across the state of Florida have at least 18 courses that are registered. So again, providing opportunities for students to enter into those courses or series of courses that will result in their opportunity to earn an industry certification. Let's talk about what we have with our graduating seniors. And this particular chart is rather exciting because what you can see from 2009 to our current level of data is that we are seeing a remarkable increase in the amount of students who are graduating in Florida with at least one industry certification, just over 30%. And this is really exciting. Now, they may graduate with more, and often they can, but at least one industry certification, about 30% here in the state of Florida, which is really a testament for their ability to, if they so choose, to directly enter into the workforce. That's what that industry certification is providing them the opportunity to do. Not only do they have the benefits for possible employment in the workplace, but should they choose to move on to post-secondary coursework, there are articulation agreements that exist. Before you are what we call our gold standard career pathways. And this particular gold standard career pathways, the State Board of Education sets minimum articulation standards so that if a student earns a particular industry certification, no matter where they go in a Florida College System institution, they will receive a specific set of credits that will count and for that particular certification. What you see in the chart before you represents the top industry certifications that are articulating into their corresponding associate's degree. We have multiple articulation agreements. All of these before you actually articulate for at least three college credits. So for instance, the ESB, the Entrepreneurship and Small Business, would be a certification students can earn. It's one of our top earning certifications in the state of Florida, and they could receive three college credits towards an AS degree in business administration or business entrepreneurship. Now, just to give you a little bit more context on that as well, we have several industry certifications that exceed, about 22 of them that exceed at least six college credits or more. And we have some that are a little bit fewer than three as well. So depending on what that certification is, and depending on when the Florida College System faculty meet through the Articulation Coordinating Committee, review that certification to award that minimum standard, you can have an entire range of what students can earn relevant to those articulation agreements. There are other opportunities, too, for students beyond industry certifications to earn articulated credit into an associate's degree at a Florida College System institution. There can be local agreements that are established that when a student completes a particular CTE program, that CTE program will count towards college credit towards a particular degree. Or you could have students who are involved in career dual enrollment who are earning a career certificate. That career certificate also has guaranteed articulation credit into an AS degree as well. So multiple ways, again, to save students time and money and to accelerate their opportunity to enter into the workplace. We do have a listing of these on our Department of Education website and our Office of Articulation. So there is available information for people to see what particular certifications actually translate into what particular programs. Now, I want to share something that we're thrilled to have, and that is our new career planning and work-based learning coordination system known as Zello, X-E-L-L-O. I think everyone who's on this committee appreciates and understands that we know that when we expose students earlier to career exploration and to career planning, what a benefit that is. And so now, thanks to you all in the legislature, thanks to the governor, we have our new career workforce planning coordination system known as Zello, which we are now rolling out as we speak. This will allow students in the secondary space to go in at age-appropriate modules to explore careers, to plan for careers, to look at work-based learning opportunities, whether that's internships or externships or apprenticeships or pre-apprenticeship programs. This is really a game changer, I believe, here in the state of Florida. And as you can see before you, there's kind of like three paths or modules. So there are students who are in K through 12 that have an opportunity to participate in Zello, students who are in grades 3 through 5, and then, of course, those in 6 through 12. Now, this is required in statute now that Zello be used in the middle school career planning course that students take. So this will give them that immediate exposure, if not earlier. And I'm pleased to share with you all today that right now we have 1 million students who are participating in Zello across the state of Florida, and we've trained over 500 Florida educators to be proficient in how to use this great tool and resource. In fact, just this week, we're calling it our Zello Road Show, if you will, and we have events that have been planned all over the state in regional groups to allow educators and school districts to gather together. Earlier this week, it was in Panama City, and then it was in Jacksonville. Wednesday was the day off. Today, it's in Orlando, and tomorrow, it wraps up in Fort Lauderdale. So really getting the message out, getting students engaged in that. This is going to have some long-term, powerful benefits for our students as they get exposed to what could possibly be for them in their future. So more to come on this. Another great asset that we have this year is the fact that all high schools will need to host career fairs for their students, specifically targeting 11th grade and 12th grade students. And this also allows high schools to partner with other high schools, even across district lines, to accomplish this. And so what this is really going to do is two things. Number one, it's going to give students that opportunity to really engage with employers, to engage in that work-based learning opportunity, to ask questions, to form relationships, to see in a deeper way if this is something they could envision themselves doing. But it also has the benefit of strengthening the relationship between the employers and the school districts, the LEAs. This really helps with that work-based learning coordination because we know that that is a critical component of quality CTE. And so we're excited about how these career fairs are going to be held all across the state now. And we at the department are providing and developing a resource toolkit so that we can give that to school districts to say, you know, how do you market and advertise and recruit and coordinate and bring these together so that students can benefit from these, you know, particular career fair opportunities? And how can you also benefit in your work-based learning and your CTE programming that you have the secondary level? So this is a great asset. I'm hoping that maybe also our panel afterwards might be able to share some great examples of how career fairs have been used in their districts as well. One of the things that FCAN had just mentioned that is also something that we're looking forward to here is the development of our middle school career education planning best practices work group. And this is designed, we are in the process right now of formulating this task force, which will really help us with the connections between middle school CTE programs and high school CTE programs. At the end of this particular work group, we hope to have a report here that will outline first the middle school career and education best practices, as well as an inventory of middle school, high school, and post-secondary program alignment. So really talking about that entire pipeline development so that we have that in place. Also, recommendations for Florida's career and planning courses, whether we need to make additions to these courses, deletions, things that we need to correct within the curriculum. And then also, as was mentioned before, the recommendation on the three mathematical pathways that will match what has already been done in the Florida college system. So we're going to have three of those pathways established. It'll be algebra through calculus, statistical reasoning, and then mathematical thinking in context. So again, putting students on paths that lead them to the occupations they need, the application of the mathematics in those particular pathways is critical, and we're looking forward to what this work group is going to help us to do. We've mentioned this before, but I just kind of wanted to touch on this a little bit, and that is work-based learning. The department has really been focusing on what we can do to continue to expand and improve our work-based learning opportunities here in the state of Florida. Just last year, we have developed and issued a work-based learning manual for the field, which is located on our Florida Department of Education website. But the multicolored chart that you see in front of you really kind of shows the entire spectrum of what work-based learning is. Everything from career exploration onto a career experience. But we know that work-based learning, it's an evidence-based practice that's been shown to have great outcomes in terms of high school graduation rates, post-secondary matriculation, and also the likelihood that a student will be employed at a higher salary when graduating from high school. So this really is a tested, time-proven, quality tool component of CTE that we want to scale and expand across the state. And I'm excited that our Zello platform that I mentioned earlier will incorporate work-based learning opportunities for students. So as they're looking at particular careers and as they're contemplating their next step, that we'll have pre-apprenticeship opportunities, apprenticeship opportunities, internship opportunities that will be available to them as we partner with businesses across the state to populate that. Also, as was mentioned, we're thrilled about this particular component too, which is now students have the ability who participate in a CTSO, that's a career and technical student organization, they can receive a work-based learning credit or elective credit towards their high school diploma, thanks to what was passed in Senate Bill 240. So this is great. We know that another quality component of CTE is students who are involved in CTSOs. Now, the great thing in Florida and our 17 career clusters, which I mentioned to you before, we have a CTSO for almost every single career cluster. So there will be opportunities for students, whether it's something like HOSA or it's FFA or it's one of TSA, right? Those particular CTSOs will provide opportunities for students then to earn credit towards their high school diploma. So for instance, an FAA student who's participating in a supervised agricultural experience will get that elective credit. We know that those co-curricular, extracurricular opportunities provide so much enrichment for students in terms of really kind of embracing that occupation or embracing that industry. And we're very much thrilled to have this particular tool with us as well. I couldn't talk about work-based learning if we don't talk about apprenticeships and pre-apprenticeships. And we're really excited, thanks to the legislature, thanks to the governor, for the tremendous growth that we are seeing in the apprenticeship and the pre-apprenticeship space. And not only are we seeing a growth, because right now we have about 20,000 participants in pre-apprenticeship or apprenticeship programs, but we're also seeing increases in the on-time completions of both our pre-apprentices and apprentices. So this year, 62% of apprentices completed their program on time. We also had an increase of about 218 students or participants in our apprenticeship program that completed their program on time. So adding more students or adding more participants, but then adding that in a way that they're completing it on time. Also, when you look at apprenticeship exit wages, we've seen about a $4,000 increase in terms of the exit wages from this year to last year. And we've got about 362 apprenticeship and pre-apprenticeship programs registered across the state. And just yesterday, Governor DeSantis announced the a general release of PCOG, which is our Pathways to Career Opportunity Grant, $14.4 million, which will fund about 57 apprenticeship and pre-apprenticeship programs all across the state, serving about 5,000 apprentices and pre-apprentices. So we are not letting up on the put the pedal to the metal. So we're not letting up on the pedal. We're continuing to push forward with what we're doing in the apprenticeship space. And thank you to the legislature for continuing to fund PCOG year after year. We appreciate that. Finally, I want to talk about two funding opportunities that I think are real game changers as well, which will continue to incentivize our school districts to introduce students to CTE programming. The first is our career education 9 through 12 base weight. And so really for the first time in almost 20 years in the FEFP calculation, a CTE course will be weighted higher than a regular academic course in 9 through 12. And the difference of that is 0.08. So again, we know those CTE courses from an operational standpoint are more expensive because of the equipment, because of the technology. And so now we're seeing that reflected, which can become now an incentive for districts to open those up and to move those students into those programs. The second is the removal of the middle grades cap. So prior to this, in the FEFP calculation, only those particular certifications that were weighted at 0.1, that's where it stopped for middle school. So that's been removed, which removes the disincentive for school districts to hold them back. So middle school students can continue to earn certifications that may be at a higher weight and will continue to push them forward. So whether you're in middle school, you can still continue and not have any of those artificial barriers established. We also have our Career Pathway Plus Industry Certification. So beginning with the 24-25 FEFP calculation, there'll be a new 0.3 FTE available for student completion of at least three courses and an industry certification and a single CTE program of study. And why this is important is because we want to encourage students to become concentrators, right? Those students who are taking more than just one course in CTE, but in a program, a series of courses, because we know that concentrator status is highly correlated with higher graduation outcomes, right? So we're looking at 95-98% of students who are concentrators graduating with their high school diplomas. This creates that financial incentive for those students to be involved in that as well. And then finally, we have the career dual enrollment course with an A, which will provide for a 0.08 FTE increase for each student who completes a dual enrollment career course with a grade of A or higher that leads to an industry certification on the CAPE list. So again, additional financial incentives that continue to open up the doors, create the opportunities and the possibilities of students engaging in CTE. It's really exciting. It's thanks to the legislature, thanks to the governor for these particular opportunities. And then finally, let me end with what could be quite honestly the cherry on the top here, and that is our workforce capitalization grant, workforce cap. This is $100 million that was appropriated last year for the creation and the expansion of CTE programs across the state. And we are just excited about this being really a game changer. So eligible institutions to apply for this are school districts that have career preparatory programs in 9 through 12 that the particular program leads to an industry certification on the CAPE list, or it can be post-secondary institutions that have career dual enrollment options as well. And with this $100 million, we have reserved 25% of this specifically for programs that are aligned with the semiconductor industry. We know that is a high priority for the state right now as we continue to try to scale and bring more students into that particular industry. And we are very close to making the first announcement on that first $25 million at 25%. I can tell you that right now in the first review window, which closed, we received 61 applications, 34 were for high school CTE programs, 27 were for career dual enrollment programs, 18 from school districts in the post-secondary space, and 9 from Florida College System institutions. So actually tomorrow, November 17th, is the closing of the second review period. So we'll take those applications in and begin to review those. But then immediately on the 18th, we open another review window, which will run until December 15th. So there's still time for school districts and Florida College System institutions to submit their concept proposals for review by the state. Again, very excited about this program, what this is going to do all across the state of Florida for CTE, especially secondary CTE. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much, Dr. O'Farrell. Members, before opening it up to questions, just be reminded that we do have another presentation behind this. Three school districts are here to present and have a panel discussion. So with that, let's go to Representative Porras. You are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Doctor, for that amazing presentation. I have a couple questions, but I promise I'll be brief. I wanted to touch on the gold standard pathways that we talked about earlier. Could you answer what makes one of these a gold standard pathway?
Sure.
Recognize, sir.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Absolutely, great question. So what we call them gold standards because they're guaranteed credit. So once we have a particular industry certification that is vetted by faculty, it goes through our articulation coordinating committee. And so it's a guaranteed level of credit that would be awarded toward that AS degree or that applied in science degree. So that's in a variety. We have, I think, over 127, roughly, that have various degrees of college credit that articulate over to that. But that's what makes it gold standard.
Follow-up, Chair.
Follow-up, sir.
Who in your department, I guess, determines which of these are capable to be gold standard pathways? Because it seems a lot of these are just, like, computer-based degrees or programs. So, you know, I'm just curious as to why aren't other pathways considered part of this gold standard?
Recognize.
Yeah, actually, there's more. What I gave you on that particular sheet were just the top 10 that we have. So there are many more, let me tell you that. And so that really comes in concert as we have industry certifications that are on the CAPE list. We also work with faculty at the Florida College System Institution level to determine what level of articulation credit would be determined.
Follow up?
One more. In regards to the articulation agreements, does every CTE program qualify for these post-secondary credits? And if they don't, you know, why not?
Please.
Yes, absolutely. The industry certification that's assigned with the cluster, right, that can, you know, there can be a multiplicity of industry certifications that we have with different career theme courses and their linkages. So there's nothing that's actually excluded in that. It just becomes whether or not the faculty feels that there are a level of rigor that's associated with college coursework that would count for that particular articulation.
Satisfied, sir? Okay. Absolutely. And moving to the other side of the dais, Representative Dunkley, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for that presentation, Chancellor Farrow. My question comes pretty much from your last slide, from the Workforce Development Capitalization Incentive Grant. I noticed in the concept proposal that you received, there was none for the middle school. Are we going to be looking at expanding that out to
you recognize, middle sir. School?
Yeah, it's statutorily for 9 through 12.
I was just asking.
Please.
I have a heart for that middle school portion, and I just wanted to know if there's any palette for us looking into or have your office looked into looking at the middle schoolers for that part of that incentive grant.
You're recognized to expand or respond?
Or to advocate for that incentive grant, sorry.
Well, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think what's exciting about this is it really does bring an opportunity because as the high school expands, right, their CTE programming, they really have an opportunity to work with what can be feeder programs in the middle schools to shore those up so that you've got students kind of coming into the pipeline. And I think also this is a great opportunity for our middle school alignment work group that we're talking about as well to kind of see what those best practices are to your point. So we make sure that middle school students are seeing exactly the opportunities that are beyond those grades 6 through 8.
Thank you. Any follow-up? Follow-up.
Thank you, Chair. So on that work group that you spoke about, how are we selecting the participants for the work groups?
You're recognized.
Yes, we actually just sent out an all call for nominations to come through the department. And so they'll come through and then we'll be able to select those based on their application. So we sent that out to the field.
Any follow-up? Thank you. I do have a question I want to piggyback on from Rep. Dunkley. What is the timeline for that middle school work group?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we just released that on the 1st of December, so we're hoping to actually start the 1st of November. We're actually hoping to have that tied up and start the process in December for them meeting.
Okay, great, thank you. We will now go to Representative Bankson for questions.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the great presentation. I love our education to workforce pipeline that we're working on. Question here is, with all the choices that are out there, is there a way for the other choice models, such as homeschool, private, charter, to be involved in this, or is this solely for those within the public school system?
You're recognized.
Well, I think that might be a great question for our panel to also talk about how they are incorporating our homeschool students into opportunities for CTE in the public sector.
Great. Follow-up, sir? No? Representative McLean, you are recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a couple of questions about funding. So I understand the matrix on the how you get to FTE and all that. I guess, can you talk a little bit about the timing of how the dollars are paid? I think on slide 16, I think, where you laid out the matrix for the FTEs, how that's paid. And then on the capitalization grant program, how does all that money flow to the district, who does it flow to? How does it get there? What's the timing of it? Is there any lag or anything for the programs?
Yeah, so
you're recognized.
Yeah, I would say, and we might be able to have an off conversation about maybe some of the specifics on that, but when the FEFP calculation is made, these will be the new metrics for determining that, as that is calculated each year, depending on that available data. As far as the workforce capitalization grant, that will be a grant program, an RFA, that will be issued. And so, as I just mentioned, we're getting ready to release that first $25 million, so those applicants will be notified. They will then complete the RFA, and then that process will allow for the funds to be distributed to the entities, which in this case would either be school districts or Florida College System institutions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
No follow-up, sir? All right, thank you. I think that does it for questions. Oh, Vice Chair Michael, you have a question. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. Farrell, I have a question on slide number 6. Mm-hmm. The data you presented on CAP, the career-themed courses, with over 1,208 registered career-themed courses, are there any schools that are not offering these courses? And if so, why not?
You are recognized.
We have right now, if you look across all of the districts, there are about 6,644 districts that are using some version of that 1,028 distinct connections. With that, for middle school and high school, I can tell you right now we have about 942 high schools and middle schools across the state of Florida that are currently using career theme courses.
Any follow-up?
No follow-up.
All right. Thank you. Well, with that, I think we have ended this portion of the presentation. Dr. Farrell, O'Farrell, thank you very much. A lot of information covered there, and some exciting things going on with DOE and our CTE programs.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
And now we move to the third presentation of our committee. At this time, we move into the school district panel discussion on CTE. We're pleased to have with us today, and please go ahead and, as I call you, make your way up. Mr. Stephen T. Harold, Workforce Education Director with Escambia County Public Schools. We have Mr. Chris Jargo, Director of Career and Technical Education with Hillsborough County Public Schools. Our ranking member is very happy about that one. And we have Dr. Sean Gard Harold, Assistant Superintendent of Educational Pathways with Seminole County Public Schools. Thank you, gentlemen, for traveling to Tallahassee to be part of our meeting today. I will ask each of you to introduce yourself once to the committee, and as part of your opening remarks, please provide a brief overview of the CTE opportunities available to students in your school districts. At the conclusion of the panelists' introductions, I will open our discussion to member questions. Mr. Harrell, I'll ask you to begin.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. And thank you all for having us here today. It's quite an honor to get to come and brag about the things that we do in career and technical education across the state, and especially in Escambia County. Sorry, guys. But we're a district of about just shy of 38,000 total students. And overall, about 70% of those middle and high school students are in some type of CTE class. And there are so many things that I picked up from the conversations earlier that I want to touch on. I can say that every one of our middle schools and high schools offer industry certifications. We have career-themed courses at all of those schools. About 60 career academies across the school district between middle and high school level. And we have really embraced the CAPE industry certification model over the last 6 years or so. I was calculating the numbers. We've earned about 36,384 industry certifications in 6 years. I pulled the data from the last statewide industry certification numbers and found that we were ranked about number 9 out of all of the districts, not per capita, overall. So the total number of industry certifications that students are leaving our schools with is immense. And each one of those industry certifications represents a job skill that an employer wants to hire them for today. In fact, I can think of a few examples where students have completed our Telecommunications Academy at West Florida Technical High and gone on to work at a shipbuilding operation in Mississippi where they're pulling cable and making more money than I make, right out of high school. So those industry certifications are meaningful, and the funding that you all help provide for them help us build new programs. Across our district, to touch on some of the things that we do, our career and technical student organizations are phenomenal. There are many, many students participating in them, some of the largest in the state for FFA. Tate High School, for example, our career and technical student organization there does a great work-based learning project each year with Meals of Hope, where last year they fed over 60,000 meals to local families. 60,000 meals, folks. The students go out and get all of the money to make this happen. They buy all the materials, and we have this giant day where we bring volunteers from throughout the community and business councils to come together and help us package all of these meals, and then we distribute them to food banks within our local community for people right there at home. And what that does is ties back what an agricultural student is learning about growing and producing food, ties it to how that food can directly benefit our community right here. So, you will see projects like that happen throughout our school district. To touch on some of the work-based learning opportunities that Dr. O'Farrell discussed, you can go to any one of our high schools and find students who are working at that high school paid by us to work in our IT department. So we learned a long time ago that if we were going to ask business and community partners to hire our students, that we should practice what we preach and hire them ourselves. So we pay students to work with our technology coordinators at each school, and it kind of multiplies their presence, and it cements what those students, again, are learning in the classroom that they can apply right there in their own world, and they see how these skills that I'm learning are valuable and help me tie to a job out in the workforce. We have students that do their interns at all of the local hospitals. We have students that ride along with EMT as they're working towards their NREMT, emergency medical responder. It's a lot of letters, I'm sorry. I keep having to look at my notes to make sure I don't forget them. We have students in our multimedia programs who are working with, one I can think of, Kendrick, is working with Hellcat Productions, and he gets to help film the Blue Angels. So you talk about marketing a program when you have a student that takes the skills that they learn right there in high school and take them out to the field and get to film the Blue Angels. It doesn't get any better than that, folks. It just doesn't. So just last year, to put some numbers on things, 3,114 high school CAPE industry certifications. That's a pretty good number for us. Middle school, we had 892 students earn a high school level industry certification as part of a high school course in middle school. That's a big deal. And I'm so happy that Chancellor O'Farrell talked about removing the cap to digital tools, because we're about to blow the roof off of that. 4,715 were earned last year. And if you're not familiar with digital tools, they're a big deal for middle school. In fact, they're very appropriate for a middle schooler to get that entry-level skill set and build some self-efficacy so that they know, look at me, I can do this thing. And as they matriculate on up to the high school level, they can take those skills that they learned, not just the technical skills, but the personal value of being able to accomplish something. The big test doesn't look so scary anymore. So I appreciate the cap being removed, because it does give us a little more incentive to tell the schools to push even more of these digital tools out there. But I could go on and on forever. I do want to mention the career fairs. It's great that we're asking everyone to do it, but we've seen the importance of that for years already. You know, we partner with the Department of Transportation and do a Construction Career Days event where we partner with neighboring school districts and take students on tour buses from every high school in our district and theirs to a facility where we let them operate heavy equipment. Okay, now it's all protected. There are people there that are helping us do this right. But they also explore careers that are related to the Department of Transportation that have nothing to do with construction. Maybe it's engineering. Okay, that does have something to do with construction. But there were people there that were even teaching the students about underwater in investigations, like where you're checking the structural validity of bridges and things. And you talk about sparking a child's interest in something they can do for a career. When you can put your hands on it and participate, where there's 100 different careers laid out for you for a day, it's life-changing for many of those students. And we've seen the results over time of that. So I appreciate the fact that it's legislated now that, you know, or we're pushing that out there that everybody's going to have these. But, you know, we've seen the value of that for years. I don't want to keep going on and on forever, but, you know, I could brag about the things that we do all day long. I mean, if you come to West Florida High School today, it's a wall-to-wall Career Academy high school. Every single student there has picked a program of study that they want to be in. They have picked a career and technical education pathway, and in addition to what they're learning for their core academics, they are really diving deep into career and technical education. You go into our health programs here, we have a mock-up of a ambulance. It's an ambulance simulator so that the students get that real-life experience, that they're not just doing CPR on the ground with, you know, 6 feet of clearance around them. They're doing it on a gurney in the back of a really tight enclosed space because that's what the real world is going to present to them. And when you see this in action and you see how it gets the students' passion for that career field ignited, it makes sense. And we bought that with funds that were part of grant programs like this capitalization grant. We wouldn't be able to do this if you weren't backing us up on this. So, you know, I would invite any of you to come in and take a look at these programs. You'll be blown away by what we can do right there in little old Pensacola. You know, we're doing some great things. I don't want to steal everybody's thunder, so perhaps I should stop talking because I could go all day.
Well, it's great that you're proud of it. It's certainly, you know, everything you talked about is something to laud. So it's wonderful, and you'll have more of an opportunity. Now we'll go to Mr. Jargo.
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and committee members, thank you for the opportunity to present today. I'm from Hillsborough County Public Schools. I serve as the CTE director. We are a large school district. We have over 220,000 students, and over 50,000 of those students in our middle and high schools are taking some of our CTE courses. We have a diverse array of offerings. We have over 333 types of CTE courses in 75 unique CTE programs. We have over 500 CTE teachers that we support every day. We have a rich history across our district for many years of supporting CTE. In fact, one of our long-serving superintendents was an agriculture educator. Our agriculture programs are very vast in Hillsborough County. 66 teachers in agriculture, over 40 schools with 41 unique programs. Our hospitality programs are thriving, particularly culinary. 20 amazing culinary programs, including Lato High School and Strawberry Crest High School. And every single day, the students are working towards learning how to work in the industry of culinary. We've recently launched a medical academy at DW Waters and a construction academy at Bowers Whitley, which provide greater access to unique programs that our industry needs in our area. These have been buoyed by a $1 million U.S. congressionally funded community grant to prepare the schools with the industry standard curriculum and equipment for the students. We're proud to report that our industry certifications from the just completed 22-23 school year is 18,516, which represents a 24% increase from the prior year. And in the prior year, we had the most industry certification FTE around the state, so we hope to have that again. We shall see. Our CTE success has been buoyed by many grants that we've obtained. In 2020, we began the Hillsborough County pre-apprenticeship in our secondary programs, which was a result of the PCOG grant, Pathways to Career Opportunities. This has to allow us over the past few years to have 95 students from our secondary programs be in a pre-apprenticeship in areas such as welding, electricity, building construction, and technical ag operations. Last year, we started the Cyber Launch Initiative, which was designed to increase cybersecurity and information technology education. This was through a grant of $1.78 million from Cyber Florida. This also had a great expansion of our digital tools, especially in cybersecurity, and we're very excited about the new laws related to digital tools and that expansion. As a result of recent legislation, we continue to expand our career fairs for our high school seniors, and it's going to also expand to juniors as discussed today, through a program called the Future Career Academy, put on by Workforce Development Partners. We believe that it is important to provide career preparatory and hands-on curriculum and experiences to make an impact in our local community. We appreciate how the legislation has expanded the various opportunities for funding as presented by the Chancellor. Looking ahead, our CTE offerings will continue to evolve as new technologies such as AI, artificial intelligence, and big data move from the cutting edge of technology into the mainstream. Our goal in Hillsborough County is to continue to match the needs of our industry partners with the interests of our students in order to further develop the workforce of our region. Thank you.
Thank you. And moving on, Dr. Gard Harold, please.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me. I am proud to represent Seminole County Public Schools as the Assistant Superintendent for Educational Pathways, and just a little bit of a unique perspective in Seminole County. So I oversee all of our career and technical education, but I also oversee school counseling, as well as our virtual school, which my department was built on the power of yes. If a student comes to us and they have something that they want to be able to do, we have to figure out the way to say yes. And so if that means that a student is training for the Olympics and can only come to school part day, how do we make that work with a virtual school or with a home education option as well as some blended options on a school campus, including career and technical education? So in Seminole County, we have 53 career and professional academies at our 9 high schools. We do not have any high schools that do not have a CAPE Academy, and we have career-themed course registrations at all of our 12 middle schools. We have about 63,000 students. And we cover everything from accounting to wastewater treatment and welding. We do have 2 new programs that we launched this year, both in artificial intelligence, one at Hagerty High School, one at Crooms Academy. With very little advertisement to students, we ended up with an immediate 160 students that opted into those programs. That tells you that the workforce demand is being recognized by our students. They see where the jobs are going to be, and they're willing to put in the work in order to fulfill those jobs. We also found out yesterday that we were awarded one of the Pathways to Career Opportunities grants for the launch of our CyberHawk Academy over at Lake Howell High School. The CyberHawk Academy is going to combine an existing cybersecurity program with our computer science and our ROTC program, a Navy ROTC program, so that the students can have any pathway out of that program that they wish. They want to enroll, enlist, or seek employment, they will have the tools that they need in order to effectively do so. And then another option or opportunity that we have for our students, so last year the legislature approved a large appropriation for our Academy of Health Careers at Seminole High School, and we are deeply grateful. Combining those funds with other state funds, local funds, industry funds, and federal funds, we have begun the process for the modernization of our Academy of Health Careers, where our students can graduate as a certified nursing assistant. They can graduate with an allied health certificate, EKG or EMR, biomedical sciences, and for the first time ever, health services management. This was all done at the urging of our healthcare professionals that work in our region. And so we have a very active program advisory committee with our Academy of Health Careers, where we have almost 700 students enrolled in that one program at one high school. And that high school has 4,000 students. And so you can imagine that when it's time for the students to wear their scrubs to school on that day, you can spot a Health Academy student anywhere you go. We also took advantage of the Get There Faster funds that were awarded to our district previously for the dual enrollment expansion grant. And so we look at dual enrollment as the addition to our career and technical education programs. It doesn't mean that a student has to leave the program that's on our campuses in order to participate in dual enrollment. They can take the coursework on our campus and then take additional coursework in dual enrollment if they really want to expand that learning and get those opportunities before they graduate from high school. And then finally, just echoing what my colleagues over here had mentioned with the career fairs that are upcoming. Initially, we've always done career fairs. We did last year a large internship and employment expo. We do an internship expo twice a year. We do industry-specific career fairs. But this year we thought, let's do something. Let's not just take this legislation and make it you know, we already do that. Let's use this as an opportunity to build. And so we'll be doing a district-wide career fair with all 9 of our high schools. We're estimating around 6,000 students in attendance. We're working with the Seminole County government to help us with facilities and funding so that we get transportation and lunches for all of our students and our volunteers. And we're working with CareerSource Central Florida in order to help us find all of our business partners to fulfill those employment needs of our students. I will quickly address also with our middle schools. I'm just jumping to that for a moment. So we do have the required career exploration course in our middle schools, but we take that a step farther, and we have a course available to students every year of their middle school. We call those our LEAP courses. It's learning, exploring, and advancing their pathway. So they do that career and academic planning in their sixth grade year, and then in seventh grade, they'll be moving into a deeper exploration of those careers, and specifically talking about how does AI impact those careers. And so there is a coming together of a lot of these career and technical education programs that we have to make sure that they don't just operate in isolation, but they also operate together so that our students see the full picture of what workforce is going to look like when they arrive on the job site.
Thank you very much. And now we will open it up to member questions. We will start with Representative Chambliss.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you guys for your presentation. I really, really appreciate the work that you do in helping make sure that our young people are ready for the workforce of tomorrow. Just, you know, as a legislature, just wanted to ask the simple question, how can we do more to support secondary CTE? What can we do as a legislature to help you guys in what you guys are doing?
Gentlemen, I think for brevity's sake, we'll just go ahead. Any one of you, unless it's addressed directly to you, please jump in. Don't wait for me to recognize you, and then we'll just, if it's an onslaught of questions and we can't hold back the ranking member from asking too many questions, I'll jump in and save us all.
Yes, sir. The industry certifications that we are allowed to implement with our students are quite vast. But there are still some certification areas that our career and technical courses do not align with, particularly in the barbering and cosmetology area. So, for example, there are state licensures in those areas. However, those type of certificates may not be on the funded list as they don't meet some of the other criteria. So legislatively, there may be special rules or changes to the laws that would allow some of the areas or perhaps all areas that have a career and technical program to have some opportunity for CAPE industry certification, because right now it's the vast majority, but there are a few courses that do not.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Interesting that you say that. I was at the last town hall that I had in my district, that was brought up, that they're, you know, that they're able to take courses but not necessarily graduate with particular certifications for that industry. So we'd love to follow up with you about that and then asking the question, were there any others that you could think of besides that particular category that we could have further conversations about?
Okay. We'll now move on to Representative Bankson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do have to just brag on our Central Florida. Seminole's been a top producer in this area, but all of you, we're so proud of what you're doing. What work is your district undertaking to improve CTE offerings and outcomes for students?
Well, we recently implemented dual enrollment welding at one of our high schools for a very particular reason. We've long had students drive to Georgetown Technical College for dual enrollment courses that are clock hour courses while they're in high school. But the problem is many students don't have a transportation, you know, available to them that would allow them to cut down on that amount of windshield time. By the time you add the windshield time into this and the student's day is consumed. So we used to bring dual enrollment to Pensacola High School for welding, and now we've got about 75 students on track to finish high school with at least a portion of the post-secondary training for clock hour welding done. And interestingly, that will also impact school grade because if they complete 300 hours before they graduate, then that counts as an acceleration point for that student. So it's a win-win for everybody to bring it to the community. I like that some of my colleagues are doing that as well to bring offering the dual enrollment for the post-secondary center, but you know that's a big step that we've done recently.
Please.
Thank you. So there are a few things that we do in order to make sure that our programs are relevant and also that our students are producing industry standard. The first would be we continuously review the regional demand occupations list to make sure that what we're offering is what is needed in our community. It is it would be irresponsible of us to continue to operate programs if they're not meeting an industry need. We also ensure that we have legitimate program advisory committees for every single one of our programs. We need to hear from industry professionals on a regular basis what is happening in their industry, because we don't live in that world every day. So we need to make sure that we understand their perspective. We're working constantly with our student support services and our ESOL departments to make sure that we have supports for our students that are maybe English language learners or our students who struggle academically so that they can be successful in our career and academic, our career themed courses. Finally, we're working on teacher quality as well. So we know that oftentimes our CTE teachers don't come into the profession with a teaching background, but they come in with a deep passion for their content. And so we spent, over the summer, we provided an opportunity to provided every year for our CTE teachers an optional day. They don't get paid. If they'd like to come in and work on instructional strategies to make sure that their programs are meeting the needs of their students. We had about 80% of our teachers show up this past summer out of pure interest of doing what's right for their students and working on academic vocabulary. If you can't read in an English class, you also can't read in a CTE class. And so we need for our CTE professionals to understand that they play a role in developing a literate society.
Excellent. Thank you. Representative, anything else?
Quick follow-up.
My earlier question, very simply, what is the pathway for an alternate education to get involved, plug in? Would a parent just simply contact the district?
Is what you're asking, how do we market this to the parents? How do we let them know how to find us, sort of thing? Yeah. Okay, so you have to do this with a multimodal approach. Websites are great. We have a website that is available with all of our offerings on it, but you have to do more. You know, what we would find is that if we directed parents to the website, they would still have lots of questions. So we maintain our websites. We have a mailer that we mail to every student who is eligible for a career and technical choice program in the district. Each year, they get this mailer at the middle school level or the high school level, depending on what child is in the home. And then we invite them to come to an expo where we bring every choice program in the district together at one of our schools. And we have an evening where they can come and touch the things that the students are working on every day. We bring students, we bring teachers, we bring parents, we bring community members to this event. And we give them an opportunity for several hours to walk around and talk with every one of the programs and see what's going on and see what's happening. And then they can make that choice. In fact, it was just a couple of weeks ago when we did that this year, and the application is open now and closes on December 8th. But we make sure to market that on local radio, local television, and we call their homes. We have a automated call-out system that we call and remind them that this is available. So the big show really is that expo, but then there's also the asynchronous stuff that's online and the mailers that we send home to let them know about each of our programs.
All right, great. Vice Chair Michael, you're recognized for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you all for your wonderful presentation. I'm a gardener, so I'm going from this angle. When you spoke about the agricultural students and your HOPE funds, I love that because we see the increasing challenge of food deserts, even in my district, and my district encompasses three beaches as well. And I think I heard you say that the students actually raise funds and they buy the groceries. Have you considered them actually growing their groceries?
Yes, ma'am. In fact, we actually do grow and sell agricultural products through the programs. But in terms of the Meals of Hope, it's a very prescribed program, and it allows you to reach a wider audience when you buy the commodity goods and then package these meals. What they are producing is a prepackaged meal that has all of the nutritional value that you need, and it's making a quick hit for a hunger situation. It's not like a typical food bank where you are are donating all types of various foods. It is one particular meal that they are preparing. And to speak to the advisory councils, I've been trying for a couple of years now to save some of it aside. But the thing is, we want to give all the food away to people who need it. But this year, I'm going to try to save some of it and actually serve that food at one of our advisory council meetings to make an impression on, you know, the advisory council. I want them to see what these students are producing and actually taste it themselves.
Excellent. I hope we're invited to that, to sample ourselves. Any follow-up? Okay. We will now move on to Representative Dunkley.
Thank you, Chair. I have two questions. My first question is, how is the collaboration happening between districts to talk about what you're providing to help other districts to maybe come up, you know, with the CTE courses?
Yes, ma'am. So we do work well together. I am the president of the Florida Career Pathways Network, and that is a network of over 100 individuals who work in various school systems and Florida college systems, and we are a subgroup of the larger Florida Association of Career Technical Education. So we network more now than ever before, with monthly, you know, virtual meetings and a few times a year in-person meetings, and we're always sharing best practices, and we have that network of people who to call when we have questions or want to know how to improve our work.
Thank you.
Any follow-up?
One other question.
Please.
Thank you, Chair. And let me acknowledge, I'm sorry, thank you for the work that you're doing and just caring about our students. It's a joy to see the people who are at the forefront doing the work that is necessary to create our future. So my next question, and I forgot Principal District here. You mentioned regarding the awareness portion, how you give awareness for the programs that you have offering. How are you leveraging that cost to be able to do a lot of that mail or radio? Because that there is a cost with your budget.
Well, you would be surprised how much people are willing to give to education if you just ask. You know, oftentimes I find that people say, you will never be able to get somebody to give you this, that, or the other thing. But when we go out into the community and we show them what we're doing and we actually make those strong relationships with our business and industry partners, they come through for us and they help us when we need it. Now, you know, there are times where we get larger donations than others and we learn to put those in our foundation and use those funds wisely. But when it comes to marketing the program with a call out, we already have the call out system for, you know, district use anyway that we're paying for all the typical day-to-day operations. That one's a no cost for us. Using the facility at our high school is a no cost for us. You know, the teachers have this culture of responsibility that they know they want to be there for this thing because the teacher knows that when I come to this event and I market it and I let everybody know, then their classroom is full next year and they get to serve all of those students. That's what they're there for. So, you know, we have this culture of the career academies are important and parents want to know well in advance. In fact, they're calling me, asking me, when's the expo going to be? How do I find out more information? It's about building a culture and a trust and a relationship with the community. And, you know, the things seem to fall in line when you do that.
Sure.
And if I may just add on, so we because I oversee also the school counseling in Title IV, I have a direct line of sight into all of our charter and private schools. So I have a point of contact in all of those schools. This year, we've launched a campaign called What's Your E with our students. So when you graduate, are you planning to seek enrollment, enlistment, or employment? Because when you ask someone what they want to be when they grow up, not one of us is sitting where we thought we were going to be sitting. And so we just want to know, like, what is your just after graduation plan? And then in order to create that marketing, we are using a lot of our near graduates and recent graduates to create collateral videos to show to the students so that they can see themselves as a professional in that field or as an emerging professional in that field. And because we have so many CAPE academies and so many students that are developing phenomenal talent, if we don't use them to create our marketing, we are not demonstrating our belief in our programs. And so we use our own students to develop a lot of our marketing materials and make sure that they get that opportunity to shine. And then we'll put at the bottom of that, developed, you know, through the Academy of Creative Design and Entertainment at Lake Brantley High School.
Excellent. Representative? Dunkley, are we good? Okay, great. We will now go to our ranking member. Ranking Member Valdez, you're recognized.
Chair Rizzo, thank you very much. And you know, this workshop is so amazing because I just came from another committee with the Regulatory Reform and Economic Development Committee, and we talked about Space Force and the different jobs that are required in Space Force. So when you think about space jobs, you wouldn't think of a plumber, but they need plumbers, right? So this is just amazing. And a point of personal privilege, I want to thank all of you for being here, but most importantly, I should say, and most importantly, I want to recognize Chris Jargo. Mr. Jargo, he's been a tremendous asset to the district in this space. I can actually say I knew you when, right? And seeing how career technical education in Hillsborough County has always been the board's mission to ensure that while we're preparing students for life, that we give them the opportunities to explore careers. So having said that, thank you, Mr. Chair. As you identify critical workforce needs in your prospective communities, such as Space Force, for instance, right? Describe how your work with these industry partners operate. How do you engage the community and industry partners in planning your career technical programs? And then a second question, I know we're out of time almost, is in your marketing aspects, do you market in Spanish? Do you market in foreign languages to ensure that you're capturing all of your students? Thank you.
I would ask the panelists and members, we have 4 minutes and 15 seconds, so please make it brief.
Thank you very much for the kind words. And in our district, we have the advisory boards that are in the different career areas. Some are local to a geography and some are specific to a career area, but then they're countywide. And that's how we engage with the business partners to learn what they need so that we create the proper curriculum for the next group of students. And we're also working through our Future Career Academy initiative to have many of these industry partners at our career fairs that will happen in April.
And so we have our Academy of Health Careers, and I will just highlight through example, Orlando Health has been a phenomenal partner with us as we are developing our Academy of Health Careers and modernizing. And so they are currently building a new hospital facility near our high school. And they have invited us into that construction process. We've met with their architects. We've met with their directors of maintenance and facilities. And so we are able to create our new environment based on what our students will experience when they get out into that workforce.
Thank you. Follow up, ranking member, we have 3 minutes and 4 seconds.
Thank you. The marketing, is it done in different languages?
In Escambia County, it's primarily in English. I haven't been asked about other languages, but I have seen the challenges arise from language barriers. In fact, I have a mentee who is the primary language spoken in the home is Mandarin Chinese. And when I was in the Air Force, that was what I did. And it opened up my eyes because there was some confusion about the application process with this particular family. And I was able to translate for them and find out that, oh, you know, we were able to solve this problem. So my eyes have been opened up to this recently. But our population of ESOL students is growing. And so in the future, I'm definitely going to investigate that as an option for us to translate our marketing materials.
Thank you, sir.
For sake of brevity, I've got to go to Representative Altman. Will you have 2 minutes and 5 seconds?
Quick question. If I'm an employer and I'm looking for talent, how do I contact, what process do I go through to find employees?
Well, it would be a quick phone call to me and have me hook you up with our DCT coordinators at each of our high schools, because each of those high schools has a coordinator that helps those students find jobs. At West Florida High School, for example, our Advanced Career Experience Coordinator will find you the perfect student with the perfect skill set today that's either ready to move into that entry-level position with you right now or to intern with you for the future. So, you know, you can give us a call or work through our local workforce board. We partner with them, and myself and the neighboring county, we alternate positions on the board every 2 years. So, you know, we work through our local workforce board as well to help find employment.
Thank you, sir. Ranking member, you've got a minute and 15 seconds.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to share, Mr. Jargo highlighted AP Lato Comprehensive High School, which happens to be my alma mater, Go Falcons. And the culinary arts program that he discussed about, this team has won multiple national awards for their work on, I think, 6 in a row. I mean, it's phenomenal, the teaching, the experiences that they're given. So these programs really, really do work and really prepare our students for life. So thank you.
They do. I had a question. I'm just going to make a statement. Without these programs, I know our dropout rates would be far, far, far higher. Thank you to everyone that presented today. Thank you to the members for all of your very thoughtful questions. Panelists, thank you for getting into what we do every single day as educators. Thank you to everyone that came. And with that, seeing no further questions no further business, happy holiday, happy Thanksgiving to everyone from Chair Masullo and all of us. And seeing no further business, Representative Bankson moves that we adjourn.